Okay, 3, 2, 1.
It's Two Thumbs Undecided with your host, Zachary Ferguson, who's not a sandwich, and his co-host.
I'm Sam Ferguson. I actually am a sandwich.
And together, they're here to bring you media at 11 a.m. on a Sunday, because it's quarantine edition.
See, you always start off as just like a normal talk show. You start off as like a normal talk show, and then it slowly turns into a horror movie.
I'm sorry, but at the moment, everything seems like quarantine. You don't go like, quarantine, like, oh, let me pass that gummy bear, please. Quarantine. All my friends are dead.
Okay, well, let's...
Is that too insensitive to say at the moment? Because who knows?
It is a little sensitive. Also, I was looking up some stuff. Also, this is our 97th episode. Yes. Two Thumbs Undecided.
Which means we will be spending our 100th episode quarantined. Isn't that fascinating?
Yes.
That kind of shows...
It is fascinating.
The evolution. You know, first we started at... the first recording, I believe, was at either my old apartment or at our parents' house.
No, the first recording was part... Well, we should not get into history. We should talk about the history of the 100th episode, I think. But yeah. I just want to correct you. But the first recording was actually, first it was long distance because I was still at college.
Really?
And then we recorded the second half of it because, you know, it was the AFI thing, right? Where we
went
over the top 10.
I'm pretty sure.
So the first part was we were apart because I remember vividly recording it at my apartment in D.C. And then the second part was
so strange. I must be
when we were sitting right next to each other and we shared the same mic.
Oh,
it was mono.
I know exactly.
We did a mono recording.
Sorry, I'm remembering my first episode of my last podcast, which was called "Where's This Now." That was at my parents' home.
Yeah, we don't talk about that podcast.
It was a good podcast.
Speaking of podcast, I've stumbled upon this doc of. All the 2-2-U creed. This was the creed. I think I wrote it. I wrote this beginning of last year. So I wrote this. I mean, I guess we were a few episodes in, but I don't know if I ever read this. But
oh no, I'm pretty sure you did at one point. I do remember this. But give the listeners a little listen. You know, in their troubled times.
Well, I guess it...
They're like,
yeah, and
they're probably
times.
Thinking, oh, I'm so scared of touching anything and not going outside. I need T2U Creed. That's Creed 3.
Well, I don't know if this. Yeah, I don't know if this is really relevant, but it
is it dated?
It begins.
Is it like?
No, it's not dated. I guess the only thing that's dated in here. Well, let me just go through it. So it begins with it. It starts with the cashier du cinema, which started in 1951. And the Young Turks who started the French New Wave, which I guess is kind of what this was.
Young Turks. Oh, sorry. I was thinking of the literal Turks, like from Turkey.
From Office? Oh, or not Office. I was thinking of Turk from
Scrubs.
Scrubs. They should revamp Scrubs, but in the time of quarantine.
Oh,
in the time of coronavirus.
Well, you know, I was,
and they should make it a series.
I was just thinking on my walk today. So, of course, the coronavirus will end eventually. By the way, here's a little shout out, just news in general. University of Pittsburgh just announced their plan to cure COVID-19, and it's called.
Oh, wow.
Thing is it's like unlike the Salk. Vaccine, he just named it the polio vaccine. You know what they're calling it? They're calling it the Pit Vat Kit or something. Pit is in the title. I think they learned, they're like, this is the day, like, this is the age of branding. Why didn't we call the polio vaccine the Pit Polio Patent?
Well, the great thing about the polio vaccine is he immediately made it, he didn't copyright it, so like immediately everyone had access to it.
No, which is great, and which I'm a little afraid that
Pitt's gonna try to profit off of this.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing: this COVID-19 is destroying the economy. So I wonder if they're going to price it low, but just to kind of bump it up. I mean, if any president's going to take advantage of money, it's this guy. Donald Trump!
I wanted to... Thanks for dating this.
I'm not... Do you think every podcast doesn't be like, oh, sorry, we can't have you on or anything, remember, because that's going to date it?
Zach and I made this this video called Flying Lounger Sky Place, and one of the things we tried to do was we tried so hard not to date it. So for
the very first like the whole reason why we can become Flying Lounger Sky Police is we invent a new element, and then you say, oh, you mean like in Iron Man 2?
That doesn't date it. That I can say any movie.
I mean, I'm just saying, no, it doesn't. Nobody talks about Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2 just came out, and I'm like, whoa, they made an element.
Oh, yeah,
and
true.
I thought it was so silly how they made an element.
In the second one, the first one that I wrote, we like had your characters say like all these slangs from all these different decades. Like you said, like you were the bee's knees, and you said groovy, and you just said all these different things. I just remember I just wrote it specifically that.
Well, you also in the Halloween special you dressed up as Alfalfa.
That as well. So, anyways, let's continue with this creed. So the creed kind of just goes in and it just talks about how. The French New Waves wrote this whole creed in like the 60s, which started the French New Wave, and then, you know, now times are different. And like the producers were in control of the 90s. Wait, just bring movies back to work. No. Oh, so like this was kind of like how the studios, now it's like kind of back how it was in the 60s, where like the studios were in control. And we need to do something that, like, breaks from the studio's grasp. So we wanted to put movies in context of cinema history. Reviews that go to the soul of the piece instead of just the details. So we don't just talk about, you know, we don't just talk about, like, film and media and, like, you know, one by one in general. We kind of go into it a little bit more of, like, all angles. Yeah, I don't know.
That's interesting. I feel like there can be a newer, better creed, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, this isn't I guess I'm a little bit embarrassed.
Now, here's a question. Not a question.
I'm not, you know, I wanted you to, see, that was your cue.
That was my cue?
See, I'm not embarrassed.
It was a good creed.
That's not the whole creed. I'm just looking over this now.
It doesn't sound like too much of a creed. I mean, no, it sounds like a great creed, but I'm not gonna contest any creed until some lawyer tells me to.
But I also wanted to get back to Pittsburgh is doing a pretty good job though in general in regards to the virus. You stopped your the spread of the disease by 95%.
Oh, I see. I haven't seen any good statistics. I just keep seeing like Tom Wolf telling people to put on masks.
No, but Pittsburgh, Allegheny County in general has like in the past
we have
week
the highest,
it jumped.
Yeah, we have the highest case. You want to hear something scary?
You have the highest case?
Well, yeah, Allegheny has the most cases.
No, apparently. Philadelphia had so much. Wait.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking Pittsburgh. I think just in Pittsburgh we have the highest case. Because first they say Pennsylvania and then they say Pitt. But you know, so I was saying this before. So here's a little like film history. I think that's gonna happen. So all the TV shows, right? All the sitcoms. Mm-hmm. They have like in the years to come, there has to be some COVID-19 moment. In it, you know, it's, I mean, mm-hmm. This is such a cultural milestone, such a stop in the world. I'm trying to think of a show right now. If they bring back The Office, they're going to have to deal with, like, how did the office... Here's the thing, it won't last a few, like, it will only last, like, one or two episodes, the COVID-19, because each episode can take place in 2 or 3 months. And that's kind of how long we're going to be in lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have, like, one or two COVID-19 episodes, but... I mean, this is going to show up in a lot of movies and TV, just as a, like, a history point. Like,
I've been predicting, though, that there's going to be a shit ton of, like, disease films after this. You know, like, Contagion was, like, the only film that, like, we can really look back on.
Well, I think, like, the reason why...
A serious disease film.
Well, the reason why I think you're right is because people are living it, and it's so raw. Why not write it now? This is, like, the rawest you feel. It's like somebody who just got, you know, it's all such raw emotion. We feel such raw anger or happiness and angst and trying to live through this. The artists don't just sit around and wait for some other person to write it. They're like, I'm going to write it now. And, of course, it may not be the
best. I also think I was thinking it more so of just it's going to be the most profitable. Like, the fact that, like, so many people are going to go to watch it. Like, it's whatever is relatable at the time. Like, whenever 9/11 happened, you know how many, like, terrorists / like, New York being destroyed. Like, Cloverfield was, like, such a, like, you know, connection to, like, 9/11. And that came out in, like, 2000.
Yeah, that came out in 2008. So, like... I think that's
so
why
it lasts
we won't
for like
see...
10 years. Like this feeling, like feel like lasts for like a while.
Well, that's why we won't see. I'm trying to think of like when United.
Maybe not immediately. It wouldn't be immediately. It's not going to be like, you know, 2021. There's going to be all these COVID, but like starting 2022, there's going to be all these like disease films and like all these films about just chaos, and also not even about the disease itself, but I think just like seeing what's happening with the government, and just seeing like just complete chaos of a government.
Well, I think that's why, say like Adam McKay, his next, you know, he'll probably make a movie.
He's
all over
perfect
this.
Time.
Well, I'm just thinking like in next, like we won't see the true effects of this till like 5 years later, when the economy really will be shaped. Like right now, this is just the beginning. This is not even, I don't even feel like this is 10 minutes. This is like five, this is the before the credits scene of like virus sweeps through nation. And then it will show like a bunch of like montages of people like slowly being shut in. And then like, and then the water world wars. And
you know
then,
what I keep thinking about?
Yeah.
You know the movie,
Dawn of the Dead?
I Am Robot, or not I Am Robot. It's another Will Smith. It's
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
He's a doctor. He has got a dog.
I Am Robot.
I Am Robot. No, that's...
They should combine those.
No, you're thinking of I Robot.
Yeah, I know. No, I was thinking of I Am Legend, but I combined it with
He's in two I movies. That's funny.
He likes saying I. He likes beginning
he
with
like
I.
He likes the eyes.
Yeah, you know, in I Am Legend, it begins with, like, being like, we found a cure for cancer.
Whoops.
And everyone's just like, oh, yay. And it was, like, applauding, and then it cuts to, like, the title, and it's just like, turns out the cure to cancer turned everyone into zombies.
Yeah.
I'm worried that that's going to happen.
We're going to do this COVID-19 cure and just, like...
Or same with Snowpiercer. There's, like, the beginning of Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
It's not as... connected, but it begins with like, we found a cure to global warming. Oh yeah. And then it just cuts to like the titles, and it's just like, turns out the cure to global warming was everyone froze to death.
Yeah, so like if we cure COVID-19, then oh my goodness, the movie title,
why
is
are you saying covert?
I can't help covert. I was actually made fun of at work for saying covert. It just rolls off my tongue easier. Okay. COVID.
Yeah, we should put that in.
Also, my brain...
We should ask to change.
No, yeah. Can you please change it to covert? It just sounds better, please. Because when I hear COVID-19, you know, I just want to say, hey, 19.
I want to... I want to also... The late, great... the guy who sang Lean On Me.
Lean On Me.
Bill Withers
when
died today.
I thought he already died. I thought I saw something a few months ago. I'm not joking. thought I saw, like, guy who sang Leaning on Me dies.
Wow.
So that's why I'm not
that's
sad. I'm just like, no, exactly. I thought I saw Lean on Me guy die.
Bill Withers, he died today. And he also sang Ain't No Sunshine When He's Gone.
No sunshine.
He also sang Lovely Day, Grandma's Hand.
Oh, I love that song.
There's so many songs that you know of him. 19. So this song is dedicated to the songs, or this episode is dedicated to him.
And America.
Bill Withers. I'm not dedicating this
like
to America.
Don't like America. You know what I've realized is our movies that we suggest to people, my movies are very, very patriotic.
Pro-America? Yeah, they're very patriotic.
I mean,
I noticed that as well.
Yeah,
they're very patriotic.
I got The Great Escape.
You should get off your high horse.
I'm not trying to. I'm just like, I like movies that truly, like, encapsulate what America is about in a positive sense.
Speaking of America, I want to talk about a type of media that's very American. It's something
I think it maybe started from America.
I think in a way, I think it did start in America. Cause,
like, trying to think, I mean, I didn't do a lot of research. I just am getting this from my old brain. But our topic for the night, which was made by our thing last week, so Sam, you take it away.
It's tonight or tonight's shows.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
It's the late night talk shows.
Like when,
and
for people who could not go to sleep, shows, variety shows that and let you be informed and also made you giggle, and
yeah,
maybe also
it's,
made you.
It's something. I've been thinking a lot about, because late night talk shows, it's kind of fascinating now because they are on the same level as YouTubers. They are on the same.
Say that again?
Like, they're on the same level as, like, YouTubers. They're on the same level as anyone with a webcam. Can you hear me?
Folks at home, like so many others, we're doing this over Skype. And sometimes.
Can you not hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh. Okay.
I was.
I mean, I was.
Blanks.
I could hear you the whole time. So the exactly like that. There's all of these professional people are having these same issues. Did you listen to the most recent REM? You talking re me or whatever?
No, but I did hear Comedy Bang Bang, and the one woman who was on, I could hear like a lag. And Sam, folks at home, Sam and I had to do this twice. Our podcast twice
well,
last
week.
Well,
not this episode. Last week, yeah.
Last week's episode.
Hopefully
and I got No. I know what's wrong. But I got lambasted for exactly what they kind of did on Comedy Bang Bang.
So they were making such beginner mistakes. Like, I could hear their voices and their audio.
It's because they're not they're not, what's it called? They're not engineers. It's like an apocalypse for podcasters. It's like, without all the makeup and glitz and glamour, they don't know jack spit.
Well, on the REM thing, like Adam Scott's whole audio was like he responded like 1 second after Scott Aukerman said something. And I was just thinking the whole time, like, don't you gotta sync it up with the clap. Did you not sync it up with the clap? You know,
also,
that's how
you're in New York and I'm in Pittsburgh, and I can hear you perfectly fine. And Scott, by the way, okay, I don't want to, we shouldn't use Scott Aukerman's podcast because
we worship him here.
I'm just saying, I mean, he could probably talk to us directly about it, but, you know, he probably doesn't live too far from Adam Scott. Relative.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do. It's not. I mean, like, once you're on the internet, it's just who has good internet connection. I just got a new router, so.
Oh, fantastic!
Now it's not jumping in and out.
I will say I want to hear what this audio sounds like, because last week I was hearing like a slight clicks. I don't know what it was. I'm trying to be perfectly still, and maybe I think I was holding the mic last week. I'm not touching it at all, but if my audio is not that great, I'm going to have to I'm gonna have to get a Yeti. I'm gonna have to get a Yeti, people. Which is a great. That's
like the mythical animal.
No, it's well, I think it's a mythical beast. Is a beast an animal?
Mm. Yeah, why not? We're all animals.
I just feel like once you hit a certain stride, you, wow. Sorry, I've been getting a lot of. Cool. You know, I got to tell you, folks, this is really a time for people liking your stuff, like seeing all your artwork. So I want to become Instagram famous while I'm in this place. So I'm going to try to post something or draw something every day. So check out my Instagram, baby.
Nice plug.
Yeah, for
anyways,
me. Anyways. so late-night talk shows.
So late-night talk shows, it kind of began, and the reason why I've been so fascinated with this is, first off, because, yes, there's the whole thing that's going now where it seems like it's reducing it back, kind of exposing, in my mind, I feel like late-night talk shows are kind of dead in the water. I feel like a lot of, the essence of late-night talk shows are kind of... Now that we can have, you know, Instagram lives and we have all of these really close personal stuff, the whole purpose of these late night shows was to have these people come on in very intimate situations. You know, you have who's like the Rat Pack? You have the whole Rat Pack come on.
Yeah,
on like
Frank Sinatra.
Johnny Carson.
Ed Begley Jr.
Sammy David Jr.
Sammy, sorry, I get those two very confused.
I don't know who you were referencing to.
But like the same person.
But it all started with actually this guy, Steve... Well, I guess the modern talk show started with Steve Allen, who's not the Steve Allen that you probably know of. It started with this show called... Steve Allen's like a comedian, right?
I believe so, yes.
Who's
also,
Steve Allen?
Steve
like,
Allen...
Like, not the Steve...
Sorry, I have to look up everything from my phone now. Steve Allen...
Oh.
Yeah, no, he's
I think I'm confusing people.
Yeah, you're talking about Steve Martin, Bubbaloo.
I guess. So Steve Allen was kind of like the first like what we can think of as talk show host. And he started the show, it was just called Tonight! Exclamation point.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, he was the first so Steve Allen, sorry, I'm just really excited. He was the first Tonight Show.
He was the first guy of the Tonight Show. And he started in 54, and I watched the first episode, and it's kind of interesting because they just allotted this time to him, and he kind of just had this time to just do whatever he wanted. And I mean, at the time they had like a lot of, you know, it was more of like a variety show kind of deal where he would just do random stuff. Like he would get dipped in a tank and stuff like that, which I think later on it became more of, what's his name? The guy David Letterman kind of started doing more of that stuff where David Letterman turned it more into like a reality a variety show where he would just do all these random stuff.
I gotta tell you, but, did you know that Steve Allen, the very first late night talk show host, he lived to be a very old man. Oh no, I guess not, 78, but I mean that's old, but he was in the Simpsons from 1992 to 1995. So, yeah.
And he died 5 years later.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, he kind of just had, like, the first episode, he just had this how, like, and it kind of set the groundwork of, like, all talk, like, late night talk shows from then on, which is part of the reason why I'm kind of, like, it seems very old fashioned, is, like, when they begin with, like, the monologue, and he started that with, like, he didn't know what to do, so he just, like, talked. Like, about, like, hey, like,
hey,
this
19...
is a talk show. Hey, 1954s.
Right. Now,
what's
here,
going
here's something...
on?
Now, every you comedian know, out there
Eisenhower's
has...
great.
Well, here's the thing. Every comedian out there always likes to do an impression of their favorite talk show hosts. And I think you and I don't know if your impressions are good. I don't even know if my impressions
Mine
are
not
good.
Yours are better.
I was just wondering if we could maybe do a Johnny Carson. Like, Steve Martin, Steve Allen, I don't know how he sounds like, but I know
he
that
he just talks like a lot of 50s.
Oh, really? People. So he talks like, I'm trying to. No,
he talks like this.
I'm just trying to like do my John. He's not like Don Draper, where he's like, if you're gonna sell a car, you're gonna put a motor in it! Where the hell is the motor? Debbie! Where'd you
Why do you always...
I don't know.
You always go to sound like you're drowning.
I was born in a whorehouse! That's an actual line.
That was a line from the Tonight
Show.
Exclamation point.
Is that the first line from, Hi, I'm Steve Allen, and I was born in a whorehouse. Thank you.
Yeah, it began much like Steve Martin in the Jerk, where he was like, I was born a poor black man.
Can I tell you, you want to hear a funny story? And I don't know if you could do it, but in high school... I once stood up, and right before I started, it was like one of those presentations, and I stood up and I began my presentation, and I said, hello, everybody, my name's Zach Ferguson, and I was born a poor black child. And it got a laugh. It got a laugh. Nobody seemed a jerk, but yet everybody thought it was hilarious.
I feel like more people have
I feel
seen
like if
jerk
I, no, here's
anything.
The thing. If I said that at college, people would think, like, you're racist or something horrible. But all right,
so anyways,
I don't know.
Back
maybe
to,
I am,
to late night shows.
I hope I'm not racist.
Back to late night.
Oh, so
I hope so too.
Johnny Carson. He's
so,
like, hey,
okay,
oh,
well, Steve Allen left in 57. Oh, you want to do the Johnny Carson impression?
Well, I'm trying to. Oh, no, that's my Bing Crosby impersonation. Hey, Joe, play the hits. Trying to get into my Johnny Carson. It takes a little while.
Hey guys, I'm Johnny Carson.
See, that's just your impressionation.
So Steve Allen left 57, and there's a bunch of different guests, or there's a bunch of different people that lasted from a year to 2 years. The Jack Parr lasted for about 4 or 5 years, and he left in 62. And that's when we have Johnny Carson.
So
that was pretty good.
So
that's pretty good.
So tonight we have Robin Williams. He's been in a lot of movies recently. He's been in There it is. We have Barbara Streisand coming on, or Bette Midler. I get those two confused. McMahon, what do you think? Ayo! You know, Well, that was okay. So, a little history for people. You may have not heard who Johnny Carson is. Hello. No, see, that's my Bing Crosby again. You may not have heard who Johnny Carson is, or who Ed McMahon is. Who Ed McMahon was the first sidekick. Now you have Stewie, or no, that's the guy from The Simpsons. All right, sorry. I'm gonna calm down. But if you haven't heard of Johnny Carson or Ed McMahon or the Tonight Show, what they're famous for, relevant today, is from The Shining. So there's a scene where Jack Nicholson chops down a door and he says, "Here's Johnny." The reason why he said that is his brain is melting and he forgot to say hello or "I'm gonna kill you," all the normal stuff a murderer would probably say. Instead, he did the catchphrase that Ed McMahon would do anytime that Johnny Carson would show up. He would go, "Here's Johnny!"
So,
there's my rant.
Johnny Carson kind of ruled...
he was the king of late,
late
night.
Late night.
And technically...
He was the king of late night from 60s throughout the 70s, really.
And the 90s.
I mean, the only other person who I think was kind of a competitor to him, and he was a competitor, was the Dick Cavett Show. The Dick Cavett Show was
but it
didn't last that.
Dick Cavett.
Actually, I'm looking at this. It only lasted 3 years. Wait,
Dick
what?
Dick Cavett Show?
Or did it? No, no, no.
No, it must have been like the Dick Cavett Show, and then like Late Night with Dick Cavett, or because Dick Cavett
it probably switched.
He lasted until the wrinkles were no longer liposuctionable. You know?
Yeah.
Here's the difference between Dick Cavett and Johnny Carson.
It's Johnny on Carson, Amazon Prime.
Really? That's good to know. The difference between Dick Cavett and Johnny Carson, who I'm both huge fans of, is Johnny Carson seemed to always have non-confrontational stuff. Like, he would have...
Yeah.
His whole thing was
He would have his friends on.
He would have friends on, and he would also have people who he thought could make it as star. Like, the lineup of people who did stand-up, Jerry Seinfeld, Robin Williams, David Letterman, Jay Leno, you know, the whole bunch. Anybody who, like, is now, like, a mogul, a comedy mogul, came from the late, the Johnny Carson. And you know what basically made you a star overnight? And I'm digging this from the documentaries, is if he called you over to the couch. If you got that, if you got that couch seating, you're like, oh, that's who that is. And now let's get him on SNL.
And everyone who got the couch, you know who they are, yeah. Or not even on SNL, like, you know.
You know, a movie deal, or just like...
Seinfeld. Seinfeld got called, like, was on there.
And it's...
All these...
The couch is kind of like, in a stepping order, is kind of like your Oscar. It's like, oh, you were on Johnny Carson's couch. It's like, it's
Johnny
like,
Carson had... Go ahead.
It's like the funny line of Ocean's 11, I mean, sorry, Ocean's 13, where it's like, only a few men in the world have ever shaked Frank Sinatra's hand. And he's like, hey, who gives a shit about Frank Sinatra? It's like, it's like that. It's like, you and I both got to sit on Johnny Carson's chair. And now he's dead, and so nobody can sit on his chair.
Yeah. So Johnny Carson was like that prestige, but I think Dick Cavett was a little bit more of like social commentary, like where he would have people come on and he would try to get into like very specific, like not even debates, but he would have like conversations with them. Like he would have Jimi Hendrix come on, and he would have Jimi Hendrix come on, and he wouldn't confront him about, like, there was a whole thing when Jimi Hendrix did the guitar, like the, when he did at like Woodstock, whenever he played the Star Spangled Banner, and how people were like all upset about it and being like, you know, he would see, like Dick Cavett said, like, well, a lot of people are saying like it was pretty revolutionary or something, like it was like, you know, unconventional. And then like he would say like, it wasn't unconventional, I thought it was beautiful. And he would just like get into these like little kind of like not even like, he wouldn't debate with them, he would just touch on topics that would probably be. And I was watching this one interview with Marlon Brando. It was so unbearable because Marlon Brando was like kind of like a lot of modern celebrities, and then he's like trying to be very like pro, like, you know, Native Americans, and like don't talk about movies and don't talk about like all this stuff. But meanwhile, behind the scenes, he's making billions of dollars. He is the most difficult actor to work with behind the scenes.
Is that why it was unbearable?
Because like you hear him talking and he's like, he's there obviously because they want to talk about the movies he's been in, and he's just like, I don't want to talk about it.
Well, maybe that's why he got so bulbously fat, is he just couldn't get out of that circle. Shoot, I think I know.
I mean, he and Orson Welles.
Well, here's the thing. I watched an interview of Orson Welles from the Dick Cavett Show, and I actually really enjoyed it because he was talking.
He seemed fine.
Well, he was.
But
I like
they both
his,
got fat.
Yeah, they both got fat. But I mean, Orson Welles is such a tragic story of his, you know, being denied and being pigeonholed into his movies. No, but the thing I like about the Dick Cavett Show, and then we should move on to maybe more modern stuff, is Dick Cavett's show, he would bring on one point of view and then bring on another point of view. Something I said last week is I was watching the show, this documentary series called The American Playboy, the Hugh Hefner story. It's, I mean, whether you hate the guy or you think he's, you know, some chicky choo.
That's exactly, yep, yeah, thank you for finishing that off, because that's what I think of him.
I'm just thinking, like, his story is very, very interesting. And because so many, and here's the thing that sides with you, is he had Hugh Hefner on, a professor of sex, and then two feminists, who that's what they were calling, like, truly calling themselves, at the time. I don't know if it's...
I feel like David Cabot is more historic, and that's, I'm looking
well,
it up
his,
now.
Yeah,
it,
no, his stuff...
His show had been on for a while.
And he had so many started... great people on. I mean, like, he had George Harrison on. He had... There's this conversation of this kind of, like, Alabama guy, like, senator or something, who really tried to keep segregation alive in the 70s. And he had him on several times, but he would have other people on who would, like, yell at them. I don't know any other talk show. I mean, here's the thing. I haven't listened to one Joe Rogan show, but I'm thinking, like, maybe Howard Stern. And now let's transition into
today's...
Well,
I also want to clear it up real quick. His show started in 68, but, like, he's just switched times and channels a lot. Like, it was ABC up until 75, and then it switched to CBS, then it switched to PBS, then it switched all over the place. And it was on TCM for a year. Anyways, so the other shows. So really, it started becoming more, it exploded in, I think, the 80s, whenever David Letterman had his, he had The Late Show. Because there was The Tonight Show, and then both on NBC, there was The Tonight Show, and then immediately after, there was The Late Show. And that was just how it was. And The Late Show started in 1982. That was the beginning of The Late Show. And that was with David Letterman. And David Letterman did it up until, and this was like the fateful year that like really exploded, I think, all Tonight Shows. It was whenever Johnny Carson left The Tonight Show in 92. Johnny Carson left. And when Johnny Carson left, David Letterman did not get... he was supposed to be the person that got The Tonight Show afterwards.
But
there was this man, Jay Leno, friends with a lot of the big wigs.
You
want to
hear my impersonation of Jay Leno? This is my impersonation of Jay Leno. He did have a lot of lisp. Hey, these are my cards. Hey, everybody.
I just think Jay Leno is just like one of the most unremarkable people. Like, he just seems like I don't ever think of Jay Leno. He just always seemed like he's like people always pointed at clips with him, and he's always on the wrong side of history. Like, he always is making fun of the wrong person.
Right. He seemed like he was the guy that made fun of who was the woman who had an affair with Bill Clinton. Monica Lewinsky, there was a clip of him, like, I guess...
Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah. I guess he used her as a punchline way too much.
Like, constantly.
He seemed like a guy who would maybe steal a joke or take this or, like, his...
Because his stuff was just very family-friendly. Like, it was very... Maybe not family-friendly, but it was just very safe. It was very, like... He would just say... just whatever everyone's saying. And David Letterman was the exact opposite.
No.
So anyways, David Letterman left, and this was kind of the beginning. He left NBC completely because he was so pissed off with NBC, and he started The Late Show. Because there was Late Night, which is on NBC, and then on CBS, there was The Late Show. So he started that in 1993, and then immediately following The Late Show was The Late Late Show, which was kind of making fun of Tonight Show, which
David
had The
Letterman's?
Late Show after.
Is that David Letterman's show?
No. He started The Late Show on CBS. Like, he was the one that brought talk shows to CBS. The Late Show.
Who did The Late Late Show? Isn't that someone famous?
The first one...
Or is that
the first one? The first Late Show was Late Show with Tom Snyder. Was the first one, and that lasted until 99, and then it was replaced by Craig Kilborn from 1999 to 2004.
Kilborn, who's famously known for being the first host of The Daily Show.
Yeah.
No, that...
And I guess he... Did he do it after... Which came first, this or that? I don't know.
I'm not exactly sure. I feel like what happened was he was on The Daily Show. This is what happened. He was on The Daily Show... became a big star, and then he decided to leave and go to The Late Show, and that turned into a bust, and then he left.
unfortunately, he couldn't get his job back because this guy named Jon Stewart took over for The Daily Show, and everything was changed.
Wasn't he on Wipeout?
Wipeout? Yes, it was, Sam. Yes, it was. Great.
I just remember
show.
he was on Wipeout, and like people were like, that guy was originally on Daily Show,
but he
or
was
not
so
on Daily Show. Was on a
The Daily Show.
Yeah. Anyways, so back to then it was, but the one that I remember most, the Late Late Show, was Craig Ferguson. Craig Ferguson was from 2005 to 2014. That was the one that I always remembered.
Well, the reason why,
and so it was Jay Leno for a while, and then Jay Leno left in he left in 2009. And he was, wait, this doesn't seem right. When did Conan O'Brien?
That's the thing. There's a whole war about Conan O'Brien and Jay Leno as well.
Yeah.
Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien was on The Late Night, from 1993
to there it
2009.
Is.
And then he
So he was,
to do the
he
Tonight
replaced
Show.
David Letterman. He replaced David Letterman on Late Night. With Conan O'Brien in 93. And then he got what David Letterman wanted, which was advancing from The Late Night to Tonight Show. But then Jay Leno, in classic Jay Leno fashion, and he seemed like he already screwed over David Letterman.
Yeah.
So he already is, you know, not the biggest fan of a lot of people. He then stayed. He made his own show called like the Jay Leno Show or something that was 1 hour after the Tonight Show, and for some reason was such good friends with the NBC people that he moved the Jay Leno Show an hour early so it had the primetime spot that the Tonight Show had, and pushed Conan O'Brien's Tonight Show back to where, or back 1 hour to where he was before. He only spent 1 year, or like even like half a year maybe, and like the primetime spot, but then immediately got pushed back. So as soon as that happened, go ahead, what?
I'm sorry, I watched a Simpson episode recently called Bart is Star or something. Anyways, Bart tells Homer that he should watch the Conan O'Brien, the Late Night show with Conan O'Brien because he was going to be on it. And Homer goes, okay, but you know, I'm all laughed out after Jay. And now I get it. That was like and you know what the funniest part about that is?
Is Conan, he was from The Simpsons.
Conan O'Brien got his start for writing for The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
That's funnier on so many levels now.
You didn't know about
that? No, I mean, I knew about it, but actually you talking about it just makes the wound even, like, the dig even better. This is why we do our podcast, people, so you can understand culture as well. Through me, I learn it as well with you. Disgusting.
Well, Zach makes
people sound
effects. So anyways, so Conan left in 2010, and he went to TBS. And he has been in TBS since 2010, and he still has the same show. As well as
now he's the Conan show. Once you get so big and you just become like Jimmy Kimmel has Jimmy Kimmel Live, but you know, all these guys
what
start
is
off
that on?
I don't know. I mean, he's funny.
It's on ABC.
I think Jimmy Kimmel is funny.
Jimmy Kimmel actually has been going on for quite some time.
But
he started in 92.
Only guy, and I've said this on other shows, the only late night, so now we're up to today.
Oh, sorry, no, he started in 2003, sorry.
The only late night guys see is Seth Meyers and John Oliver.
Yeah, so Late Night, really, the Daily Show really changed everything. Like, the Daily Show really turned the Late Night Show in like these late night talk shows into talking exclusively about politics. Like talking about how politics and just news in general, like just making fun of news, just became the de facto thing. And I think it's something that Conan, like, more and more talks about how he just doesn't like doing it. Like, he doesn't like talking about, like, political events that are going on. And I honestly don't blame him, because I'm watching a lot of these late night talk shows. Like, I'm watching, you know, Seth Meyers, replaced. Well, first it was Late Night with Conan O'Brien, and then it was Jimmy Fallon replaced him, and then it was Seth Meyers. So Seth Meyers talks about, you know, he has his closer look thing that he's doing.
Which is the only thing I like. I don't really like these interviews.
The only interviews I care about
are the interviews on podcasts, because on podcasts, they don't just talk about, like, the movie you're in. They talk about your life and, like, so when were you an alcoholic? And as a child, how many times were you beaten with a wooden spoon? You know, like, they get deep.
And then, yeah, that's exactly what they're talking about. And then it goes to Jimmy Fallon, who talks about, he doesn't really get that political. Honestly, Jimmy Fallon, I think, is, like, the closest to, he's like David Letterman, but, like, just without the, just more of a clown. Like, he's just the clown version of David Letterman.
Well,
it's
David,
like, if David Letterman was the, David Letterman made the other person the butt of the joke, Jimmy Fallon is, like, always the butt of the joke. Like, it's just, he's,
so I've never,
he's turning it back into a variety show.
Unfortunately, we were not raised in a time where, you know, like, not a lot of people go back and rewatch old Tonight shows or stuff because they're archival. Like, you and I were able to live through the glory days of, say, The Daily Show and Stephen Colbert, The Colbert Report. Like, that was, in my opinion, that was my late night. Like, I would always DVR the Stephen Colbert's report. And that's how I loved, that's what I love. Those kind of interviews, where it's just, like, he would make fun of the guy, but at the same time, he would also be like, oh, that's really poignant. And he would have on all sorts of people. And then he would have characters and do his own shtick. David Letterman, I'm sad that I didn't live through him, because I think you have a point there. He had,
I mean, we did. He was, he ended in 2015.
Wow.
But he wasn't really cool back then.
No, he was cool. It seemed like he was cool in the 80s.
He was cool
and the 90s.
In like the 80s and 90s, yeah. But like, something, I mean, the other things that I want to talk about. First off, I want to talk about the Arsenio Hall show, which was the late night show that
famous for
the Bill Clinton thing, where Bill Clinton came on and he. But Arsenio Hall, I mean, he was like one of the really is the only black late night talk show host,
except for that guy who was on The Daily Show. Didn't he get a show?
Trevor Noah?
No, Wait. No, it's somebody else.
Oh, the Minority Report.
That's what it was. Yeah, that didn't last too long.
But no, I mean, that's the thing is, like, these were late night talk show hosts. Now, like, these political satire things have really, that is what late night talk shows are, is they've just turned into, like, these, what Jon Stewart kind of invented, or at least popularized, is just, like, making fun of politics. And, like, that is what the Late Show, that's what, you know, I don't even care what the name is, like, The Late Show, Tonight Show. It's just what Jimmy Fallon is doing. It's what Seth Meyers is doing.
Yeah,
and
it's blankety,
definitely
blankety,
what Colbert
blankety
is doing. And then Colbert is 100%, like, constantly talking about politics. Although he did have his own, Colbert Report is my favorite, but
yes,
I don't like The Late Show.
Colbert Report was the tip of the iceberg when it came to TV. It was not too political. It was funny. And now, I think now with, you know what, Trump ruined late night shows, because that's all they can talk about.
Because now everything's a late night.
And not only is
everything,
it Donald,
like,
Trump
he's
now,
just constantly.
Now it's all about COVID-19. COVID-19. Mm-hmm. I swear, I'm going to become a governor just so I can change this freaking name. And if you say
but
coronavirus.
The last person I want to say that changed is James Corden became the Late Late Show. That's the most up to date thing. But continue.
Yeah, I've seen some of his shtick.
It's
fine.
I mean,
get a bigger
same.
Kick
it's
out just of him from Cats.
Yeah, same.
I like Cats.
I mean, there's so many other things. Like, now it's kind of just blended together. Like,
there are no late. Here's the thing. There is no late night shows.
Like
because
The Daily Show. The Daily Show, like Trevor Noah, it's the same exact thing as Seth Meyers. It's like there really is no different. Like, it's just everyone's doing the same thing.
Well,
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was saying, like, all the late night shows all talk about the same thing because they all need to band together and, like, fight this political force because it's such an overwhelmingly horrible thing. But it's, you know, there's not much of the funny ha-ha stuff. It's just kind of day-to-day.
Yeah.
We have to make fun of this. There's nothing new, which is why I enjoy podcasts as a late-night show experience or interview experience, because they don't just talk about politics. They talk about, and when they do talk about politics, they get rough and tumble into it. And then they talk about the childhood, or they talk about which deli is the best, and then they talk about how meat is murder, and then it's like, yeah, it's murder. How do you think you're going to kill the meat? Like,
yeah, I think we should end on that.
I'm a vegetarian.
We have not that much time left.
All right.
In fact,
so
we only
should
have
we do
like a few minutes.
By the way, we can do our recommendations. Movies? Yeah, quarantine movies. But I would also like, I saw three movies yesterday.
I saw a lot of movies as well.
I saw one movie and then I finished two movies. Like, I finished up two movies.
Well, we really don't have that much time. So,
all right, so I'm going to give you my... I'm just going to do... I'm going to rattle off three movies that I think...
okay, go as quick as possible.
All right, Blues Brothers. Hilarious movie to watch. Also, it's funny, and it's also great music. Number two is Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Funny, great, great animation with live action. Brings you back to childhood or make a new childhood. And then my last one is, did I talk about Ed Wood's last year week? I think I did.
Yes. But I think it was the earlier one. I think
that
was the
last
episode
one.
That we...
So I'm going to say Ed Wood's again. Ed Wood's is a fantastic movie for people who love movies or just kind of that 1950s vibe. Johnny Depp, he's back, baby, and he's wonderful. And there's a great... Johnny Depp plays the worst director in all the world, a real guy named Ed Wood Jr., and there's a great scene where Ed Wood Jr., a disheartened Ed Wood Jr., talks to a disheartened Orson Welles. And it's like Einstein meets Bumbling Joe Jr. Like, it's like two people in the same
Can you
field.
Say those again?
Yeah. Ed,
just say real quick.
Edison with Bumbling Joe Jr., and
no, the names of the movies.
Okay, it's Blues Brothers, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Ed Woods.
Okay, my movies are... Oh, what are the movies you watched? I guess same real quick.
The movies I watched was Gokka, the Body Snatcher from Hell. It's a Japanese... I forget where it's from, but it's really crazy and good. It's good horror fun. And then the other movie I saw was The Salesman, which is a documentary by the Myers brothers. It's in the 1950s and it follows a bunch of traveling Bible salesmen. And it's so interesting how basically they're using like religion and the Bible to sell this product. And it shows their follies and their like dips and dives. And then the last movie I saw was called The Under the Volcano, starring Albert Finney, who I believe played one of the Dumbledores, and directed by John Huston. It's about a really... I have never seen anybody play a drunk guy like this. Like, this guy was doing the bumbling, stumbling bit, but he was doing all... Like, it wasn't playing for laps. It was like... All
right, so...
Yeah.
So here's my movies that I would recommend.
Yeah.
First off, I would recommend... I really like Marie Antoinette, the Sofia Coppola film. It's about Marie Antoinette, and it's all about like trying to kind of give her perspective of things. But it's like it also mixes, as she does, it like mixes, you know, popular music and like it tries to modernize her a little bit. But I also think Jason Schwartzman does an amazing job as a King Louis XVI, and I think about it a lot. I think it's a very beautiful film. Also has to do with isolation because they're isolated in this castle and isolated from everyone else. The other movie is Aguirre, The Wrath of God, the Werner Herzog film from 1972 that got him kind of famous. It's kind of the inspiration to... what is it called? one that's like the Heart of Darkness.
You mean
the 70s film?
Apocalypse Now,
yes. It was kind of the inspiration of Apocalypse Now, with like these people are like journeying down a river bend and slowly go insane. And it's one of the most interesting films I've seen in the last, in 2019 at least. And then my last one would be Silence. I think you should watch Silence, the Scorsese film that no one talks about.
That's a 3-hour masterpiece. I think
it's a 3-hour masterpiece, but it's also, it really, I think, is one of the deepest dive into religion and like the extremities of religion, that I've ever seen. And he is such a great Catholic. Like, he is a great Catholic. Like, I feel like he is just really analyzes Christianity and is still Catholic. He is still a Christian, but he still just so analyzes Christianity and like what it means to
be religious. How talking to Martin Scorsese about his religion is, because that man, he's done probably as much cocaine as Jimi Hendrix, and has had more adultery than an adult on a beach named "Hey, I'm an Adult Land." All right.
So Anyways, that's the show.
No, but I love Martin Scorsese, and I would love to talk to him about his religion.
We're definitely out of time. All right. Well, that's it. All right. Godspeed, Spider-Man.
All right. Play "Hey 19." "Hey 19."
What is that?
"Hey 19." That's the Steely Dan song.
All right, sure. All right, bye.
Okay, bye. 67.